watching at home, just want to know we have a little technical difficulty here. I'll stop standing sideways for you in a moment. But anyway, let us join together in our call to worship. Jesus Christ is our light, our vision, and our sight. Our Lord is the way we are called to see life. We have come to worship to receive that light for ourselves, that we might be filled with the light of Christ. Let's join together for our opening hymn, "O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." O for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, 'tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. Amen. You may be seated. Don't you love technology? No. It's a wonderful tool, isn't it? It's a wonderful tool when it works. And sometimes we operators aren't sure what we're doing. I'm glad it's not sure. I'm glad I'm not the one having to sort that out, but I appreciate those who are working on it. As we come into this time of prayer, you've heard those who've been lifted up. I know there are others who are on your heart today. Whatever it is you're needing, we know that the Lord is with us. Already knows before we say it exactly what we need, whether we've mentioned it or not. And so whatever you're needing today, as we quiet ourselves before the Lord, just lift it up and place it in God's hands. Let us pray. We're so glad that you hear the prayers of your people, that you're so faithful, that where two or more of us are gathered, you're present with us, you know what's going on in our lives, and you care for each one of us. And that really is amazing, that you can be so in tune with all of us when we can barely remember what happened moments ago. You remember us and you care for us. You meet our needs. And it's for that reason that we bring before you those who are on our hearts today. Those on this list. Those who remain unnamed. But you know each one. And we thank you for the healing that you're bringing. The various ones, some who've spoken to me this morning about that. We know others have ongoing needs, and you're faithful. So we praise you for that. On this Columbus Day weekend, we celebrate the fact that we are in such a place as this, that this land was discovered and that this nation has become what it is, a place where we can freely worship and honor you and bring glory to you in our lives. And yet we know we're still growing and there's so much need, so many opportunities. And we thank you that you give us the gifts so that we can be a part of the mission to which you've called us. And we know that if you've called us to it, you will equip us for it. And so we thank you for each person's gifts and how they are willing to exercise that. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will continue to guide us and give us wisdom and discernment so that we will be faithful in our generation to the mission to which you've called each one of us. Thank you for the great cloud of witnesses, all of those who have guided us here and pointed us to you, that we might receive your love and your grace, be filled with your Spirit in such a way that we might share your love and forgiveness with people around us who are so broken and lost and alone. But we're never alone. Not really, because you promised that you're always with us, and we praise you and we thank you for that. And we ask for your blessing and your care, your healing, that you might meet every need. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Well, at this time, we would normally take up the offering in the past, but we have plates and baskets in the back and up here in the front. If you haven't yet given, you can do that later. But we're going to go ahead and say a word of prayer at this time for that. Heavenly Father, it's only because of your blessings upon each one of our lives, the way you provide for all of our needs, that we have the resources to engage in whatever it is you call us to. And we thank you for each one who gives, whether that's of their time or their talents or their treasure. And we pray, Lord, that whatever is given, Lord, it will honor you, that you will experience this gift as our gratitude. Bless it. In Jesus' name.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
This time, let's hear our scripture for this morning.
Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave birth to us by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For human anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome the meekness, the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. Be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in the mirror, for they look at themselves in an ongoing way, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget
privilege. We're in the midst of changing internet providers. We've had Sparklight or whatever, and apparently they found out and said, okay, you're done with us, we're done with you, and unplug it. So we don't have internet today while we're waiting on Verizon to hook up, and so some of the things that we put up on screen, that couldn't happen because we lost our internet. So we still know how to read from a book, don't we? Thank the Lord. Let's pray. Oh God, I am but a man, and yet you have called me to be a servant, to be a vessel in your hands. And in my heart are many words, some that are mine and some that are yours. So let mine fall away, that we might hear you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Who of you here this morning is perfect? Anybody here perfect? So hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. And I'm not either. But when, you know, when we're ordained as pastors in the annual conference, there's a series of questions they ask us before the gathered community at annual conference, and they ask us these three questions. Do you believe you'll be made perfect in this life? Are you going on to perfection? Are you earnestly striving after that? Sometimes we kind of laugh about it. Absurd, going on to perfection. You think of a finished, complete product, and that's not, we know we're, none of us are that. And but that's also not what the word perfect, be made perfect in Scripture is about. That is actually the word from which we, when we translate, we get the word telescope. It's talking about, it's a vision for our life, what we're aiming for in our life, to continually move towards it. We're growing towards it. We're continually learning more and being shaped by God's love. So we're moving on after that. We'll be made perfect in that eventually as we are in the presence of God, if we could just continue pursuing it. Sometimes that can seem like a taskmaster. I'm never going to be good enough. But that's not the point. Just realize and remain humble that we're all still learning. As Paul knows in Romans chapter 3, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we face that challenge of sin constantly. Jesus reminds us that it's important for us to take a large amount of sin out of our own eye, or out of our own life, before we try to remove a speck of dust, a small amount of sin out of somebody else's lives, to be aware of our own need of continued growth and development. And so we pray every week at service, and you may pray other times yourself, the Lord's Prayer, reminding us of our need to be forgiven of our own sin on a regular, we have to pray it regularly because we do it all the time, don't we? Just as we also need to forgive others, we all need it. And we also need to provide it. But here's the deal. Probably our biggest challenge often is, as Christians, is giving into the temptation of judging other people's sins, measuring them as somehow worse than our own, and in the process then relating to them in such a way that they would feel like, because of their sin, whatever that is, and it's different than ours, that somehow they would not be welcome among us, when that's is what the church is. It's a hospital for all of our sick spiritual lives, for all of us to come, for the world to come, so that we might somehow be reshaped and reformed. It's important to remind ourselves of who we are, why we're here. What makes us different? What is it that makes us as Christians different than people who are not, who aren't part of? There are certainly many organizations that do great things. How are we different than they are? I'm sure some of you are probably involved in things, and your part in that, your faithfulness, is what helps to shape the good that they do. We do good things as a church. We serve meals to the kids during the summer, along with others. We help to provide meals for kids who need them. And during the school year, we're doing those backpacks to make sure they have something to eat when they go home on the weekend, because they get meals at school during the week. We want to make sure that their hunger is cared for. This last week, I had those hungry football players. I hope they had enough energy for their game. That was fun. Some of us, we go the extra mile supporting friends, family members, neighbors that we know. They're struggling in different ways, have medical needs, whatever. We are there for them. That's what we do. That's who we are, right? And we do that. Why do we do that? Because of what Jesus has done for us. It's a way of us showing a life of gratitude to people around us for how God cares for us. We live grateful lives. And when we participate in caring for people who are struggling financially, we're actually fulfilling our own prayer of helping people with their debts. That's another way we say the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others their debts. But we're also helping them to manage and deal with those problems. It demonstrates our faith. It shows that what we say with our mouths is part of who we are. Are there any real needs in our community right now that this church is uniquely positioned to address? Many churches adopt something particular. It becomes their focus, and they become known for it in the community. That's the church that is meeting that kind of need. I don't know. Hunger is certainly one of them. But Jesus spent his ministry doing all kinds of things to demonstrate God's love that he invites us to be part of. You know, even gathering here, it's an act of service for each other. Showing up here, you're saying to one another that we believe God is with us, and we're here for one another, and no matter who is struggling, you come here, we're going to care for you, and when you're home, we're going to make sure you're cared for there, and God is present here with us where two or more are gathered, but also God is with us when we go in the world. He's not just here with us, but he goes with us and cares for those who are out in the world who don't yet know him. That's our mission, isn't it? What is the working of faith that James is talking about? He's speaking about that here. Faith without works is dead. That seems sometimes contradictory to us, because Paul talks, it is by faith that we are saved, not by any works, lest anyone should boast. What's James talking about? Doesn't he know the gospel? Who is James? Well, James, this is James, the brother of Jesus. Of course he knows. He works right there alongside Peter and John. But then he says here in James chapter 1, verse 27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And so throughout the history of the church, this has been our goal, to be a part of that mission that cares. But sometimes the temptation is to allow rituals and religious meetings, sometimes to take the place of the actual serving of our neighbor and care for those around us in the world. And so Jesus, on the night in which was betrayed, he took a basin and he put water in it, and then he wrapped a towel around him to demonstrate what faith means in practice. And you remember, he wrapped that towel around him, and he started to wash their feet, and Peter said, no, you're not going to do that to me. Well, unless you allow me to do this for you, Peter, you don't have anything at all to do with me. And so he said, okay, wash my whole body, wash all of him. Well, you don't need all of that. But he was demonstrating something for us. And he's demonstrating, he says, I didn't come into the world for you to serve me, though we serve him now. He came into the world to serve. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And he was demonstrating the love of God in that service. He calls us to serve. We have elected officials. We have public people. Police officers and fire people and other kind. And we call them, what do we call them? Public servants. Well, we know sometimes it seems, particularly on the elected end of the spectrum, sometimes it seems like they think that they're elected so we can serve them. Seems that way. But as I read Scripture, I hear this calling on my own life to be engaged in serving and caring for the community. I love to go on mission trips. Anybody here like to go on mission trips? Been on any mission trips? Anybody been on mission trips? It's amazing what you learn about yourself, what you learn about the world when you do that, and it helps to create this sense of gratitude in your life. I've done that. Worked with big brothers and big sisters when it's been available in the community. It helps me connect with the need that's around us and those who are struggling and the support that they need. It helps me to be more grateful to God for having the people in my life who raised me in the faith and provided and cared for me. It's interesting. Sometimes the best offerings, financial offerings you ever receive in the church are the ones where you're taking up a collection to meet a real need that's going on out in the community. Somebody has a fire in their home and people rally together and pool their resources to help get them another place, help them to provide clothing, things of that sort. Because this is what God's calling us to do, isn't it? To demonstrate this love. You know, often we forget this, but we actually have three mandates for ourselves as people of faith. Often we think of the two, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, but there's actually a third one. And the first of those is the mandate we find in Micah. It's the great requirement. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? It's not just something that we talk about. Christian community does justice. Loves showing mercy. Doesn't condone pointing fingers at people who are struggling, but engages in relationship with them so they can know that God loves them too. What is mercy? Well, it's simply all of us, it's getting what none of us deserve. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus came into the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And He did that for us. We didn't deserve it. That's mercy. Getting what we don't deserve. We all are here because God loves us so much and shows us this mercy. We serve God, a God who shows justice. Kind of interesting, you do a word study in Scripture, you will find that the word justice is in the Bible 2,400 times. 2,400 times you will find the word justice. And the word for born again is found in Scripture four times. And one of the things that shows us is this. When we're born in again, we're born into a life that is engaged in justice, care for the least among us. God said, I will build my throne on justice. That's what the kingdom of God is about. Psalm 103:6, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all of the oppressed. And Jesus' call to His followers included healing the sick, feeding the hungry, fixing what was broken in their community. And Paul addresses these things in some of his own letters, demonstrating it whenever he includes Gentiles in the faith community. Who are the Gentiles? We are the Gentiles. We aren't Jews. None of us is ethnic Jew. Anybody who was an ethnic Jew was a Gentile. But Paul welcomes us into the faith. Jesus welcomes this Samaritan woman, reaches out to Samaritans, people who were despised by Jews. He offers them the same hope. He offers them the same forgiveness. He offers them the same life that he offered to his own people. Justice still matters. The second mandate, of course, is the great commandment. Jesus said in John 15, this is my commandment, that you shall love others as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. And that word for love in the Greek text, in the original text, is a verb. It's an action word. Love is an action here. If you've ever gone on a trip, I don't know what you've been on. Some of you mentioned you've been on mission trips, but maybe you went to help with hurricane recovery in Louisiana. Has anybody done that? I know they sent a crew down from Pinckneyville, and they worked down there. Maybe some of you went down to Paducah and were offering assistance or collecting things to help out after the tornado. We do those things. When that one comes through our neighborhood, we get involved. We have an organization called UMCOR, United Methodist Committee on Relief, and so churches band together, and they work to help do recovery. It's love in action. In a couple of days, I'm going to share some information about something you can do because it's needed right now, and that's the provision of flood buckets. Have you ever done this before, made flood buckets, 5-gallon buckets? They're really desperately needed right now in Florida and along the East Coast following the hurricanes. The first thing, order of action, you strip the walls down, and then you bleach all of that to prevent black mold, let it dry out good before they start rebuilding. When I was in Louisiana, both when I was in Shreveport and then later on in Baton Rouge working in campus ministry, I was there through Hurricane Katrina and Rita and Gustav. And so we did a lot of district students to help do this kind of work. But we received so many different groups from around the nation, many from the Midwest, and they, when they landed, we gave them flood buckets, buckets that had came from our mission distribution center right here in Illinois. We helped them to find a place to stay, and then they went out and they worked. And then while I was at LSU, I took a group of students who wanted to return the favor when there were floods in Iowa off of the river. They went up to Iowa. We received flood buckets from the Mission Distribution Center, and then we went into homes and we stripped the walls and we bleached them down, and they said, we want to return the kindness, the mercy that they showed to us. This is who we are, isn't it? Well, there's opportunity to do that. Maybe you want to make a flood bucket, or maybe you just want to contribute money that someone else can do that. But it's such a valuable thing, such an important thing that is needed. When we do that, we are putting love into action. And that's what it's talked about here in Scripture. So much work to be done. The great commandment, acting, working in love. Third mandate for Christians, of course, is the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Matthew 28, we all know this, right? Therefore go, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I have commanded you to do. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. To go into the world and demonstrate the presence of God in the world by raising up people of faith. And there's still a need. There's still a need for teaching people about the Lord. In fact, a study by the Pew Foundation just recently came out. Pew Foundation is an organization that does a lot of research. research in what's happening in the church, not just the United Methodist Church, but all churches in America, what's going on in the church. And the recent research has shown that today in America, only 63% of the population identifies with Christianity at all. That's a 15% decline since 2007. It's about a percentage point a year. Here's the interesting thing. 21% of people who were not raised in the church, 21% of the people who are age 30 and younger who were never raised anywhere near the church are becoming Christians. Because they have worked side by side with a Christian who was doing something that was impacting the community and saying, I want to be a part of that. Who had someone that they worked with, who witnessed to their faith. Yes, by words, but also by having a life of integrity that demonstrated love, kindness to their neighbor. A large part of our nation today doesn't know much about Jesus. It's evident in our society and how we treat one another. And so there's still this need, as Jesus invites us, by our actions as well as our words. St. Francis of Assisi is known to have said on many occasions, preach always. When necessary, use words. Our lives can proclaim the gospel by how we care for one another, how we serve one another. God's love becoming real to people who've never known the law, the Lord, never heard the gospel, because they witnessed it in somebody's life and they said, why is it you're doing this? And they said, because of what the Lord has done to me. It feels right. In the movie, Paul, the Apostle of Christ, I think Luann might have mentioned this a while back, but anyway. movie, Paul, the Apostle of Christ, it shows what Paul had to do to establish the church in Rome. Sometimes I think we forget, you know, because we think of Rome, and what do we think of? Well, we think of the Vatican, we think of the Pope, we think of churches all over the place. But at the time of Paul, none of that existed. And Christians suffered persecution in Rome. Four different emperors just absolutely terrorized Christians in Rome. Romans, they called Christians atheists because they did not worship the other gods, the gods that the Romans worship. You must not believe in God at all if you don't believe in our God. But Luke, he went and risked his life spending time with Paul and caring for Paul while he was suffering in prison. He was one of those being persecuted. He's there in prison. He wrote half the letters that we have from him while he was in prison. And Luke wrote down Paul's final letter, 2 Timothy, to pass on. We have it in our scriptures. It was written for those Christians who were suffering, like Paul, who were felt very discouraged by what the Emperor Nero was doing and others. He did it to encourage them. Nero had burned down half of Rome so he could build a new palace, and he blamed it on Christians. So Christians were not welcome people. Christianity was not accepted in Rome until the 4th century. We sometimes forget that. Sometimes witnessing to our faith requires a little bit of sacrifice, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of suffering in some places. Paul modeled the Great Commission until the day he died. He gave his life working for the gospel. And in Philippians in chapter 2, he writes, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more even in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill God's good purpose. What in the world is he talking about? He's talking about living this faith, to live this life of faith with integrity, I'm with you or whether I'm away, your faith will be saying to the Philippians, are we? The kingdom of God is about action in the world. At least partly that. Acts 13:36 says King David served God's purpose in his own generation. We're called to do that in our generation. And while our generation is just a little blip on the grand scale of history, God provides us with these three directives to help us stay focused on who we are, to remind us of who we are, so that we might bear witness in the world to the great requirement to do justice, the great commandment to love God and neighbor as ourselves, and the great commission to go into the world and to engage in the mission of working side by side with others and bearing witness, love in action, serving with a life of gratitude until that day that God calls each one of us home. But when we read these passages, it leads this question for each one of us. Am I willing to serve the God who so willingly serves me, who humbled himself, came to the earth, and suffered and gave his life so that I might have new life? Am I willing to serve that mission today? Are you willing to serve that mission today? Jesus told his disciples, take up your cross and follow me. And as the great hymn says, grant us wisdom, grant us courage, for the living of these days. No time needs it more than now. Are you willing to bear witness to the love of God in the world? Grant us wisdom. Grant us courage to work out our salvation, to live it out in the world. Let's stand together. I am thine, O Lord. 419.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious meeting side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and I will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious leading side. Oh,
yourself available to one another. And when the need appears, you say, here I am, Lord. Glad to help. Glad to serve. Pray, Lord, that you will fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit. You'll help each one of us recognize the gift that you have given each one of us. So that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, as we do it for you, others will see our gratitude for you, our joy in life, our joy in serving, our joy in caring for one another. And may, Lord, that witness cause them to ask, Lord, friend, why are you doing this? So that we could share of your love. The world needs you. The world needs one of us as we go. Grant us wisdom. Grant us courage that we might be the witnesses you're calling us to be. In Jesus' name.